You're listening to Gameplay with Matthew Cause on TSN 1050. We're going all in on the coverage. You can bet on it.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Gameplay. I'm your host, Matthew Cause. Now, usually on a Wednesday, it is the light day of the week when it comes to sports. But this is not the case where you had last night, Anthony Davis returned, and the Lakers beat the Nets. LeBron James looked great. He hit all the overs. He looked fantastic. You had the Golden State Warriors getting a little bit of their mojo back, crushing the Dallas Mavericks. But Steph Curry still isn't shooting the ball that well, shooting under 30% in the month of January. You had the Raptors without Scotty Barnes and Fred VanVleet beating the Charlotte Hornets, a big game only in the sense of standings. You got the Raptors taking on the Bulls tonight. You got the Leafs taking on Anaheim. Then you wake up this morning and Felix Auger-Aliassime nearly beat Medvedev, and he was up 2-0. He had a chance late to break Medvedev's serve that would have made it 5-5. He was going in as plus 510 underdog. Woof. Speaking of underdogs, they went 0-8 in the NHL. And on top of all of that, today's the 2-year anniversary of the passing of Kobe Bryant, his daughter, and 8-9 others in that helicopter crash. I think I've got everything that's going on in sports. The MLB Hall of Fame, where Curt Schilling somehow drops from 71% to under 59%. And, of course, Bonds and Clemens don't get in. Did I get everything there, Conrad? Is there anything I missed?
Only other thing that I could think of is maybe the Iron Man streak in the NHL was broken last night. So that's a little tidbit for you.
Yep, that's right. Nice. Congrats to Keith Yandel. I think both things are true. Availability is one of the most important skills to have. And I understand the word skill can be seen as problematic when it comes to availability because a lot of injuries are fluke. So great on Yandel for always being available. The other side, though, is when Phil Kessel is close to breaking that record for Ironman-ness, I feel it takes away from it just a tad, just a little bit. But congratulations to Keith Yandel for setting the Ironman record. So it is a packed show. We got some fun bets for you today, a bunch of player prop bets. The only place I can't find any, and I don't know, Conrad, if you've seen any, but so far, none for the Raptors and Bulls game. And, I mean, we don't know what's going on with VanVleet and Scotty Barnes. It kind of sounds like they're going to play. Nurse said both will travel to Chicago. We know Zach LaVine is going to play. We know DeMar DeRozan. I expect him to. He rested in the Monday game, but that's because he had like 41 points the night before in a Bulls win over Orlando. So I expect LaVine and DeRozan, no Lonzo Ball, no Alex Caruso. But I can't find any player prop bets for this. Have you been able to find any so far there, Conrad?
Well, just after you mentioned that, Matt, I popped onto the betting site that I like to use on my phone, and absolutely no player prop bets available as of quite yet. So you are not finding anything different than what I just found.
It's crazy. They're like there's so many players out for Utah and Phoenix, and there's player prop anyway. Never mind. Today is obviously Bell Let's Talk. It is a hugely important day, and we're going to use that topic for my opening thought.
Time now for Matt's opening thought.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did I break your concentration?
And here we go.
I mean, it's really nothing more than a self-absorbed monologue, a chance for Matt to rant about something and pretend he's a serious radio personality instead of a gas bag. Let's face it, he stole this idea from Dennis Miller.
Now, I don't want to get off on a rant here.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
So yes, today is Bell Let's Talk Day. And by now, I imagine most people know how this works. Bell will donate money towards mental health initiatives in Canada. They contribute 5 cents for every applicable text, call, or social media interaction. They use the hashtag Bell Let's Talk. You'll see it there. It's easy. It's simple. And you can visit bell.ca slash Let's Talk to learn more. Last year, Bell Let's Talk Day set a new record, just under $8 million in funding for Canadian mental health. Now, you can be cynical about this day, and I totally get it. There's going to be plenty of messages out there about issues within Bell, within CTV, TSN. People might have been treated badly over the years, so I understand it. I understand the cynicism. Companies as big, with as much reach as Bell, is going to have its warts. There's always that angle out there. And I don't believe that any act of charity for a company as big as Bell is a 100% selfless act of charity. I understand the cynicism of this, that not everything is all about altruism. But, you know, I'm also not going to spend too much time on that side of the conversation. See, we can have that one. I'm for it. I'm not going to shut it down. But this date is part of something bigger and much more simple. It's just about the destigmatizing of mental health issues, just making it more of a part of whatever you consider normal life. I've talked about it many times, how different issues of mental health in the sports world is now versus when I started working with Michael Landsberg 22 years ago at Off the Record. There was zero conversation about mental health. No concerns about how players were doing mentally. Barrett Robbins, I've told this story before, a center for the Raiders, he went AWOL right before the Super Bowl against the Bucks, and there was whispers that something was wrong with him, that, you know, that he had just gone crazy, had gone nuts. Those were the terms we used. Back then, I remember thinking he was just being selfish. He was a bad teammate, letting the Raiders down. Now, that conversation would be very different. I see, that's kind of what today is about. It's about the money, obviously. It's about advocating that struggles with mental health is no different than physical health. Tear an ACL, go see a doctor. You need serious physical help, go see Dr. James Andrews. Probably if they're going to get Tommy John. Dealing with anxiety, insomnia, depression, go see a psychiatrist. Both should be seen as the same. And in 2022, that is far different than what it was in 2000. It's much more normal. And we can look at all the athletes. Naomi Osaka withdrawn from the French Open, citing concerns for mental health. Simone Biles doing the same thing at the Tokyo Games. And yeah, there was some criticism about these athletes. Where's the toughness and all that? But that criticism, that was the minority. Might have been a loud minority, a couple people with a big megaphone. But the criticism, it was the exception. It wasn't the rule. I read this interesting story from defensive lineman Solomon Thomas. He was a rookie back in 2016 with the 49ers, and he was sitting at lunch one day, and he was pointing out that the 49ers, their team therapist, was sitting at a table nearby, and he said, he didn't say this. He heard a teammate tell him, oh no, we can't go over there, otherwise we look like we're crazy. And Solomon remembers that story. And now today, he's with the Raiders. He started a nonprofit organization called the Defensive Line, which is aimed at suicide prevention. 2019, the PA and the NFL agreed to form the Comprehensive Mental Health and Wellness Committee, panel of doctors appointed by both groups. Several teams now have full-time, you know, clinicians. And the rest of the clubs employ someone in the role for at least 8 hours each week. That's different than what it was in just 2016 when players are going, uh-oh, don't go near the psychiatrist. We've had Eagles offensive lineman Lane Johnson disclose that he was absent from the team for 3 games. Why? Managing anxiety. Calais Campbell, Raiders defensive end, said he didn't feel comfortable talking about mental health back in 2008. Think about how different that is now. When Lane Johnson missed games because of the mental health, he wasn't really ripped. Again, there'll be a small minority, but it's small. Same thing Calvin Ridley stepped away for mental health reasons. And the coverage of it, part of it was about football. How's it going to impact the Falcons? Oh no, my fantasy team is doomed. But that didn't last long. It was more about how's he doing? Is he okay? NBA, Kevin Love, 2018, writing about his issues with depression for the Players Tribune. DeMar DeRozan speaking openly about it back in 2018 and on the Draymond Green podcast. Fred VanVleet saying about DeRozan, he changed a billion-dollar business He changed it pretty much single-handedly by speaking out. And then obviously a lot of guys felt more comfortable. Robin Lehner, we know his work. And see, there's examples in all sports. Yes, of course, there's more to be done. Always is. We just got to keep hammering the simple message in sports that going to a team psychiatrist, it's like going to the strength and conditioning coach. I can tell you from personal experience how much further we are now than when I started this business. There's so many reasons for this. Number one, bravery of the athletes to come out, speak out publicly about their struggles. I mean, their support staff, friends, or teammates, there is huge. But yes, days like today, Bell Let's Talk, they also play a part in it. They also help push forward this conversation. So again, please, you know, text, tweet, TikTok, Facebook, whatever you do, use the hashtag Bell Let's Talk. Every donation helps. And that is my opening thought.
I'm finished.
Like, I don't know for you, Conrad, but the Naomi Osaka, the Simone Biles, Calvin Ridley, Lane Johnson, Kevin Love, DeMar DeRozan, and there's so many of these examples out there. I don't hear much criticism. Now, there's going to be some. There'll be a Skip Bayless. You know, there'll be there'll be the odd person that'll criticize, but I would say 95%, you know, support, and or if they don't support, no one says anything. At the very least, they're just kind of staying on the sidelines and hopefully listening. That's very different from what it was 10, 15, 20 years ago.
Oh, absolutely, Matt. And I don't know if there should really be any criticism whatsoever. I think for the most part, people appreciate the honesty. You know, we all appreciate honesty in all walks of life, whatever you're doing. And, you know, mental health, it plays a crucial role in many different things. It plays a crucial role in relationships, you know, our physical health, whether it be, you know, stress or our immune systems, our emotional well-being, you know, it can raise awareness in preventing suicide. It, you know, it's connected to productivity and financial stability. So all those things it's extremely important for. And I think you really eloquently put it there in your opening thought. And I'm sure a lot of people out there really appreciate what you said as well, Matt.
I try. It can be a little clunky. And also, but also what's important for this day is when I hear, there's a criticism, from someone, let's say about Calvin Ridley. How can you do that? You're getting paid millions and millions of dollars. You're being a bad teammate. You're letting your team down, the fan base down, all that. My initial reaction is, you know, oh, that person making that criticism, how dare they? They are being ignorant. But it also needs to remember that a lot of people, it's going to take part of the population time to realize that, to equate that someone dealing with a serious mental health issue, that you can draw a parallel between that and, oh, the player's got a torn MCL, so they're going to be out for X amount of time. And part of what this day is just kind of about educating. And I don't mean that in a, I never want to make it seem like it's, oh, we have to educate you. You don't know better. I never wanted to do it like that. But I think it's one of these issues where I think it takes people time to fully realize, you know, that the mental health issue is similar to a concussion and is similar to a swollen knee injury.
Yeah, man. And I think what you said about the players, you know, you use Calvin Ridley as an example. I think if you're a fan of the team and you see a certain player who is both an impact player on the field and making a ton of money off the field or, you know, whatever for their contract with their team. But, you know, if you take a step back and you realize and you try and build awareness for this, then I think you realize what's going on underneath. And you never really know what's going on with people underneath. You know, we pass by each other and we say, hey, how you doing? Have a good day. Do we really mean it sometimes? You know, I hope we all do, but you never really know what's going on underneath. So it's important to realize that and have a thought about that as well.
Last thought, and we'll get back into sports and betting and prop bets and all of that. I'm trying to remember, and I saw the documentary on him. I think it was called Roadrunner, but the famous chef who's on CNN had the tours
going on.
Anthony Bourdain, that's it. And that was a guy, like, when you hear about death by suicide, the Bourdain one always stood out to me. Because I'm like, this guy's got the coolest job. As someone like myself who, you know, just works in the wine world, so it's close to restaurants, and I love travel. Seeing that world and that life that he lived is like, oh my God, this man lives this perfect life. And just to your point there, Conrad, is you don't know often what is going on beneath the surface. And also the money makes it difficult for empathy or sympathy because the money's a barrier. Because, you know, what is one of the biggest issues that lead to couples divorcing and fighting? Money. Don't have enough money. It leads to stress. That can lead to mental health. So then you go, wait a minute, athlete X, you make X millions of dollars a year. What do you got to be sad about? So that can, so my bigger point is I understand why there can be skepticism from the sporting public about an athlete who steps away because of mental health. I understand it. And you just hope that eventually a lot of people can realize there is another side to it.
Oh, absolutely, Matt. And like I mentioned, I think a lot of people out there appreciate what you said, and I do for sure.
Thank you, sir. All right. On the other side, we'll get back into we'll talk a little bit about the Raptors. A remarkable win considering who was out. We get into that in just a second. You are listening to Gameplay right here on TSN 1050. Welcome back, everybody. This is Gameplay. I'm your host, Matthew Kaz. Someone texting into the show. Matt Conrad, just curious what betting sites you guys use / recommend. For myself, I sort of dabble around a little bit. I like FanDuel. Big fan of FanDuel. I love covers.com. I don't just mean it because we have the guests on all the shows. And now that one's not where you place a bet, but that's a great place just to go for information lines and things like that. And then finally, Rob Pozzola, who's on the show on a regular basis, the app that he's a part owner of, BetStamp, it works really well for me. And it's a very simple one. I can sit here, bang, I'm hitting, Raptors Bulls game tonight. And, you know, oh, there it is. Bulls are favored, by 3.5. And I go on player prop bets, but there isn't any for this game. But that's what I like. What about you? What about you, Conrad?
Yeah, I use the behemoth known as Bet365, a very large international betting company there. I like it because it's got things like early payouts on games and same game parlays where you're not necessarily able to put down multiple props on the same game, but if you go to the same game parlay, then you can throw 5-6 multiple bets down on the same game and multiply your odds for a better payout.
Yeah, nice. All right, well, so there we are. We're giving little information. By the way, if we're going to talk about bad beats, Clippers, Wizards. The Wizards were on the money line up to -200. So you got to bet 200 to win 100. And if you had the Clippers, it was at +170. Clippers trailed by 35 points. They won 116-115. It was the largest comeback in franchise history. But that's not the real story. The real story was the last, 5-6 seconds of the game. Clippers never led until the final basket. Wizards head the ball with a three-point lead. With a three-point lead, and they had the ball. What happened? They couldn't inbound it. They were fouled because the five-second rule, whatever it is, they did not inbound the ball in time. The Clippers got the ball, and again, the main thing is don't foul the three-point shooter. Well, Bradley Beal fouled Derek Kennard. Kennard hit a three with 1.9 seconds remaining, hits the free throw, gets the win. That is a bad beat. Clippers never lead. Clippers down by three, and they don't have possession with a couple seconds left. And somehow the Clippers beat the Wiz when the only thing that you don't do is foul the three-point shooter, and that's what Bradley Beal and the Wizards did. Oh, that is a gut punch of a loss. I know it's regular season game number 45 or whatever. That is a gut punch. As for the Raptors, they beat Charlotte 125-113. And first, good on the Raptors, scoring 125 points, 52% shooting with no Fred VanVleet and no Scottie Barnes. That is a lot of passing that was not in the lineup. Second thought is Siakam as point guard, career high 12 assists. It's like, okay, no VanVleet, fine. Fine, then Siakam, you're going to handle a lot more of the ball handling duties than he did. Still put up 24 points, 9 rebounds. Yeah, I know. One rebound shy of a triple-double. And what did I love most about Siakam? 2 3-point attempts, 5 free throw attempts. Raptors are now 8th. They're a game and a half back of the Hornets. And remember, only 4 games separate the 6 teams in the East between 7th and 12th place. And Conrad, here's what I am terming the Raptors, and I'll get your thoughts on this. The Raptors are a high-end up-and-down team. There's lots of up-and-down teams in the NBA, and if you're an up-and-down team, that kind of means you're not a great team, you're certainly not an elite team, you're not a team that can legitimately go on a deep, deep playoff run. But the Raptors are a high-end version. They either beat or nearly beat elite teams, and then they lose to like Portland and Detroit. So I'm considering them a high-end up-and-down team.
An elite up-and-down team, if you will.
Yes, 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 exactly.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of depth on the team, not right now necessarily with the injuries, but once they're at full health, they've got about, you know, 8-9 guys who they can rotate through. And, you know, contrary to the fact that we haven't been saying that there has been much depth, I mean, there are role players on their team further down the bench who are better than role players on other teams, if you will. So as far as they go, they can go 6, 7, 8 guys deep at you. And they're all pretty similar quality there. So I think that provides to what you're calling them an up and down team. And yeah, I mean, those guys can win you games. They can also lose you games. So they're kind of right in the middle. It's a good terminology, Matt.
And they are in the middle. Like that's who the Raptors are. They're 23 and 22. That is the definition of it. And in last night's game, the depth showed up. Malachi Flynn. It was good seeing him having a decent game out there. I haven't seen that in ages from him. And between Delano Banton and Malachi Flynn, those guys 8 of 15 for 22 points. So they did provide a little bit of a spark for the Raptors. But again, this was about Siakam. Gary Trent Jr., 32 points. OG Anunoby, a very quiet 24 points on 8 of 14 shooting. Raps, again, beat the Hornets 125-113. They take on the Bulls. We'll get into, you know what, we'll do that. We'll get that on the other side. Wesley Chang from TSN Edge covering all things NBA and Raptors. We'll do some fun player prop bets. And how hard is it to bet on the Toronto Raptors? We do that next right here on Gameplay. Welcome back, everybody. This is Gameplay. I'm your host, Matthew Cause. Last year on Bell Let's Talk Day, $8 million, just under. It was basically $8 million was raised for funding for Canadian mental health. Let's see if we can break that record. Remember, Bell will donate 5 cents for every text, call, social media interaction, your social media interactions. Throw on the hashtag Bell Let's Talk. I don't know how you do that on a TikTok video, but I'm not on TikTok, so I have no idea. But anyone listening who knows how to do it, yeah, they can do it. And again, go to bell.ca, let's talk to learn more. Help create positive change in schools, communities, and workplaces. As always, keep listening, keep talking, and keep being there for ourselves and each other. Joining me now from TSN Edge, he covers all things NBA and Raptors. It is Wesley Chang. Wesley, thanks so much for joining the show today.
Hey, Matt, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Okay, let's start here with just sort of a big picture question. How the hell do you bet on the Raptors? Like, just the up and down nature of this team. Like, I'm now spooked. I'm now spooked betting on the Raptors.
You know what? That makes two of us. Here, like, the trend that has caught me a few weeks ago, we were writing this for the TSN Edge. We were spotlighting the fact that the Raptors, they were on a 10-game streak on the over. So they had this amazing run. This was right through Christmas, all the way to the first week of January. The next 7 games, they went under all the way up until the last 2. So they've been really wishy-washy. It's been really hard. It's been really hard to be able to give a defined opinion about how they're playing night in, night out.
It is. Like I was having a good run. I think the only thing I've been doing well on, and the numbers have now changed, but I was betting the over on Siakam assists for ages, Scotty Barnes the over for his assists. That's kind of where I was doing well on. But like, take the game tonight against against the Bulls. You know, Bulls have been up and down, but they got Zach LaVine back. No Lonzo Ball, no Alex Caruso. It looks like Van Vliet and Barnes will play because they traveled. Your thoughts on this game? Bulls are a 4.5-point favorite at home against Toronto.
Especially if those two guys play, I think this is a very good spot for Toronto to take a statement game. Great win last night up against obviously former Raptor DeMar, but Chicago's, they're right at the top of the standings, so they can definitely make an impact here. I mean, the line's at 3.5, as you mentioned earlier in the broadcast. This is a good spot for Toronto to take another one on the road, but I think they're very well matched, these two teams. So it's really hard to say whether there's an edge one way or the other.
Yeah. So, I mean, and for me, I've been seeing it from 3.5 to 4 to as high as 4.5 for the Bulls. But I think this is a game I just kind of stay to the side and then maybe. And the thing is, I'd like to do prop bets, but I don't see any for the Raptors-Bulls. Of course, I'd want to take the overs for DeRozan, just playing against his old team, and Van Vliet because he's had a little bit of rest, but I can't find player prop bets anywhere.
I think they're waiting for Toronto PR to list the actual injury news for the players that are outstanding, and then once that actually gets in, they'll update it. Just right now, they're going to keep everything off the board until they actually have a feel for who's in and out of the lineup.
Do you think we'll ever see a day, because there's so much more money now coming in and teams and leagues are aligning themselves with the FanDuels of the world, where there's more pressure on these teams and these coaches to be like, hey, give us your injury report a little bit earlier because our customers want to start betting earlier?
I mean, if some of this information doesn't give the opponent an advantage by having it, you know, listed 6 hours ahead of game time, I think you got to think about, you know, the sporting world in general as an entertainment product. The people who are watching it, it matters to them to know this information ahead of time. So again, if there's no advantage, I don't see any harm in doing that. It just further enhances the consumer experience from the fan standpoint.
Yeah, it would certainly enhance my experience of it right now. Anyway, joined by Wesley Chang, you can see his work, read his work at TSN Edge, and let's go around the NBA and what we've seen the last little bit, and what are sort of the bigger picture implications. You did a video about it, about the Mavs and their game against Golden State. What is the betting perspective in terms of what that game meant? Where Golden State, that had been really struggling, Dallas was one of the best defenses last month or so, and the Warriors put up 130 in a 130-92 win.
Yeah, so that's the point. This game was up against two of the best defenses in the entire league. Dallas has been the NBA's best defense since the beginning of December, and that's, like, not even a question. Their net rating differential between them and Golden State, who is the number two team, is the same as, like, number two all the way to number nine. So they're really in a class of their own in this last stretch. And then Golden State, from a season-long perspective, they've really actually been winning on the defensive end. So funnily enough, you think Steph Curry, three-point shooting, Flash Bros, all that, it actually hasn't been the offensive end for Golden State. So
yeah,
it was a really good game to go the under, but I actually hesitated to bet it because Golden State just does this thing for statement games at home. They always wake up, and they did. You saw how it worked out. Dallas now, I mean, obviously the night ended earlier for both Porzingis and Doncic, but Dallas, not a great, supposed to be a good defensive team, not a great showing for them against Golden State, whereas Golden State, season-long, they've been very strong, and they held it together even without Draymond Green in the lineup.
Yeah, that is a good point. When you hold Dallas to 92 and Draymond, yeah, still out, that's a good point. I hadn't thought about that. What do you make of Steph Curry? And this kind of coming from the player prop bet. Most of us, we love betting overs. We love betting Steph. We all love Steph Curry. We want to bet Steph Curry. He's shooting 29% from three in January.
Yeah, you know, I mean, if for the really sharp bettors, one thing I kind of like to point out about the NBA is the challenge with NBA is, sometimes you and I, we have to pick, hey, is this player going to wake up for this game, for that game? And predicting when a highly skilled or talented player decides to really bring it that night, it's tough to really have an angle on that. Whereas this drought for Curry is a very interesting one because he's so talented. You think like, oh, he'll figure it out for sure. This could very well be one of the worst shooting slumps of his entire career. And so one of the things that I like to spotlight when it comes to betting player props, overs, and unders, are there guys in the league sometimes where, I mean, basketball is a very, it's a rhythmic sport. You either have it or you don't sometimes. Are there opportunities like this Steph Curry drought right now, other players in the league as well, where you can go attack them on the under and know, oh, I'm watching this guy play. You know, he's just not getting his shots up. He's passing more than he's shooting because his confidence is down. Are there opportunities like that? And, I mean, I'm sure anybody who has been betting the Curry slump right now will tell you it's been profitable to bet the unders. You know, it's easier to guess a guy who can't get it together versus having to predict when a talented player decides, oh, this is the game. I'm just going to decide to turn it on.
The weird one with this, and you're right, it's a, when, like, eventually Steph will get hot again. It's the key is when to jump on it at the right time and when to jump off the unders at the right time. But the strange thing is, you know, he has more help this year than last year, and Klay Thompson is back. Like, last year, he, you know, made, like, 5 threes a game at 40% clip. Like, I think that's the part that's confusing everyone. We assumed, oh, Klay Thompson is back. Less defense on Steph, it should it make his shooting percentage even better, and it hasn't happened.
You know, my angle, my take on what's happened for Steph Curry, it's obviously his own shooting touch. That's an issue. Draymond Green, he's been gone for almost 10 games now, which is the same period that Steph Curry is slumping.
Oh, the screening, the screening action.
And the playmaking, just playmaking.
Yeah.
Like, Steph is not, he is not the conductor of this offense. It's Draymond. Draymond gets everything in motion. Steph is the beneficiary at the end of it. He's the finisher. Dre sets everything up, screens, sets up the pass, backer, whatever it is. Curry's the one who can finish the play. But Dre is setting everything up, and he's been gone for 10 games. And there is, I think there's absolutely correlation between the two.
I love it. See, the interesting thing there is you usually think, okay, Draymond Green comes back, let's start betting the unders. And maybe you do, but maybe you start betting the overs for the Golden State Warrior team totals and individual prop bets that with Draymond, don't just think about the defense, think about what he does on the offense. I hadn't considered that, Wesley. That's brilliant.
Yeah, I mean, Draymond, he doesn't score himself, right? So it's very easy to look at him as like, oh, he doesn't do anything on offense. But, you know, the reality is he is the conductor. He gets everybody in motion. He gets people moving. He picks who to come off screen. So that's really on him. And I think his absence is actually showing up in the win-loss column for a reason.
What are the gambling implications of Anthony Davis coming back for the Lakers? He was on a minutes restriction. He didn't put up a lot. The Lakers win. LeBron looked great, but it was Brooklyn at home, which is a disadvantage for them. It's James Harden and whoever else. But just a bigger picture with the Lakers with the West, there might not be any. Is there any gambling implications with Anthony Davis and his return?
They're going to win more games, obviously, with him back. He's, you know, top 15, top 20 player in the NBA. It's just a matter of how the market sets the line for whatever it is, whatever matchup that they do have. They were minus four last night. They covered. And like you said, Brooklyn, not a good team at home. They're traditionally doing really poor this year. It's been a trend. I think Anthony Davis will help them continue to win more games. I just don't know whether or not it's enough for them to join the Elite Four in the top of the West. I think all the way to the end of the season, the Lakers at best will probably finish fifth.
Man, and I would love to see the 5-4 matchup in the playoffs. Hey, in terms of just prop bets, Suns Jazz tonight. It looks like Rudy Gobert out, Donovan Mitchell, both of them out for the Utah Jazz. And I'm just going on this game script of Bogdanovich for the Utah Jazz. I'm taking the over of him making 2.5 three-pointers. I'm getting that at plus 122. I'll take the over of points of 21.5. And then this one, he's not like a big turnover guy. He's not Westbrook. But I wonder, heavier minutes, more responsibility, ball in his hand at plus 146, over 2.5 turnovers. Your thoughts on this player prop bet for maybe the NBA game of the night?
Yeah, Bogdanovich.
You can disagree. You can disagree.
Yeah, he definitely has way more scoring responsibility, especially when Mitchell is out. One thing is they have slowed down. They've slowed down a ton since Mitchell has been gone with due to concussion protocols. The first three games that Mitchell was out, the Jazz, which are traditionally actually a pretty up and down team, they dropped to dead last in pace in these last three games when Mitchell's been sidelined. So I think just overall the game might be slower than you'd expect. I actually bet the under on the same game the night before, except the Utah Scrubs somehow went 8 for 13 from 3-point range. Nobody could miss a shot, and they covered the over. But I actually think with this lineup back in place, I think it reverts back to a slower paced game than it was the other night.
All right, good to know. And then to me, the other easy one, Chris Paul, double-double, -117. Thoughts?
He's on a burner right now. I think this is one of those ones. Just ride the trend. Just keep going. You know, if you watch how he's playing, he's really just in full control right now. What I love the most, especially as a Toronto fan, is he's really getting the guys like JaVale McGee and Bismack Biyombo really involved in the offense. And I just love to see it. I love to see it. You know, he's doing a really good job getting everybody involved. Bismack, you know, give him his flowers. He's looking awesome during this kind of resurgence in his career with the Suns.
Yep. No, it's true. And it's funny, the first time I saw Bismack, I'm like, hey, look, Bismack's back in the league. It was one of those.
Exactly.
You know what?
To his credit, I was saying this with the staff. He looks great. He's actually worked on a few things that, like, some shots that you would have never dared, you would have never expected him to shoot when he was on the Raptors. Suddenly, he's putting up 20-point games. It's real. It's not actually a fluke. Like, he's got some pretty good new tricks in the bag, I would say.
Wesley, always appreciate. Where can people find your work, my friend?
Everything you'll find is on the TSN Edge website. So go on, check out our videos, check out our articles. We got a lot of good content coming out of there from the team.
Absolutely. Hey, Wesley, thank you so much for joining the show. I imagine we'll see even more from you when the NFL is done, then the gambling machine starts to look at the NBA even more so than what they do now. So I imagine there'll be even more coming from you. All the best, my friend.
Hey, likewise. Thanks, Matt.
Take care. Wesley Chang from TSN Edge. All right, on the other side, Dallas Braden, excellent broadcaster, was on Overdrive yesterday. His thoughts on the Hall of Fame were no Bonds, no Clemens. We get into that in a moment right here on Gameplay. Welcome back, everybody. This is Gameplay. If you want a good safe bet out there, bet that Curt Schilling will not make the Hall of Fame. He actually went down in terms of percentage. He was at like around 71-72%, and that went down to under, I think it was just under 59%. Yeah, from 71% to 58.6. Also, bet on A-Rod. A-Rod's going to be one of those guys where every year he'll climb up. He had like 36, 37% of the Hall of Fame votes. You need 75. And every year he'll climb a couple percentage points. But we all know the gatekeepers ain't letting him in. Dallas Braden, former MLB pitcher, now broadcaster, was on Overdrive yesterday discussing the fact that Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens are not in the Baseball Hall of Fame.
You know, I don't even know if there's outrage any longer, more so disappointment. And it kind of feels like, you know, that first time, whoever it is that you really love and respect when you're a little kid, when they tell you, you know, I'm not even mad at you, I'm just disappointed. You're like, oh, no, God. And it kind of feels that way. Like, I'm just kind of disappointed. Without getting really crazy, you got to remember there is the Today's Game committee or the Today's Game ballot that those individuals, Bonds, Clemens, will go on. Who knows? Who knows what that looks like? But as of right now, it's just the same thing that I think everybody says and everybody understands. You have one of the best pitchers to ever play the game of baseball, and you have the greatest player to ever play the game of baseball, and they're not in the Hall of Fame right now. And as Does that make any sense?
No, it doesn't. The Baseball Hall of Fame feels wildly incomplete without Bonds and Roger Clemens in it. And people wondered, could they get a lifeline from the Hall of Fame's today's game committee? I didn't even know this thing existed. And it's made up of former players, but as was pointed out, there's one group that's been really stringent when it comes to PED users. It's former players who stayed clean. And by the way, I totally get that. I totally get, you know, the pitcher who did not take steroids and their ERA always ballooned whenever they faced Barry Bonds. So I can't hold that against them. I really can't. But at the same point, in the last 2 years, only one guy is in the MLB Hall of Fame. Now, it's a guy we love who deserves to be there, David Ortiz, greatest DH since a DH became a thing almost 50 years ago. But let's be honest, part of what got him in, certainly his first year, was his personality. Though I do love when eye test wins, because you can go look at the WAR, and there's lots and lots, like 200-plus players with a better WAR than Ortiz. But then not only the numbers are still damn good, home runs, RBI, World Series MVP, won 3 World Series. But he was just the guy for so many moments, so many big moments. And he just felt good if you're a Red Sox fan or if you're betting against the Yankees. Also, Schilling going down from 71 to 58%. That is all about personality. That is about Curt Schilling and his social media account. It is ridiculous that he is not in the Hall of Fame. And but the thing is, all of this was completely predictable. I don't think anyone viewed what was going to happen. And I think everyone understood there's no way that they're going to let these guys into the Hall of Fame. All right. One of the other big topics was, of course, Sean Payton retiring, stepping away from the Saints, and he had a presser. So, Conrad, let's start with the first clip. Sean Payton, I don't know what's next.
Honestly, as I sit here today, I don't know what's next. I read the reports, and I understand. I've not spoken to anyone from a media outlet relative to doing television or radio. Maybe that opportunity arises. But every time I read something that says, like, he's in line for this job, I'll call my agent, Don, and I'll say, Don, did you hear something? Because I have not heard anything. And that's okay. I think I'd like to do that. I think I'd be pretty good at it.
Back in 2000, I think it was 18 or 19, he signed a 5-year, $45 million contract. He was set to make $9 million for the 2022 season. And $9 million for the 2023 season, which would put him at 60 years old. He is walking away from a ton of money, which makes me believe that, one, there is something going on in his personal / family life that he wants to attend to. No idea what it is. Now I'm going to speculate, but that it has to be that, or that there is another job coming up that he likes more. Maybe, like, I say this, Conrad, if Drew Brees was 33 and still productive and was playing with the Saints, are we having this conversation?
Absolutely not. But now Drew Brees is in the press box, so I think there could have been some reverse recruiting going on there, Matt. And maybe Drew's calling Sean saying, hey, you can get hit down there on the sideline, but you're not going to get hit up here in the booth, so why don't you come join us?
I wonder how much that pays, because $9 million is a lot.
Yeah, probably not nine.
It's walking away from a lot of money. Sean also heard another clip talking about, hey, he's not ruled out coaching again.
I still have a vision for doing things in football. And I'll be honest with you, that might be coaching again at some point. I don't think it's this year. I think maybe in the future. But that's not where my heart is right now. It's not at all.
We will see. We have Robert Mays from The Athletic will join us at 2 o'clock to get back into football. But real quick, let's hear from Chris Johnston. The Leafs, by the way, taking on the Anaheim Ducks tonight. I'll just say this, and we'll talk about it more later. Be careful betting on Toronto. I don't think there's a lot of value there, and the Ducks have just come from beating Boston, and they beat Tampa 5-1, and they put five goals past Vasilevsky. I'm just saying, be careful. But here's Chris Johnston talking about trade deadline, and the Leafs open to getting players with term.
They're at the stage where you start to assemble a wish list, look around the league in anticipation for that March 21st trade deadline. And I think if the Leafs, all things being equal, could control things, they'd rather acquire a player who has a little bit of term left on the contract rather than a straight rental. And, you know, remember at last year's deadline, Kyle Dubas was quite aggressive, made multiple deals, all for players on expiring contracts, gave up six draft picks. And, of course, you know, Nick Foligno, the most notable among them, gets injured. They go out in the first round. And so ultimately, the Leafs won't rule anything out. I think that they're just looking to get as many good players as they can, but they like the idea of getting players with some term because they feel it gives them a chance to get settled in.
I wonder how much that the Foligno deal just blowing up in their face, and totally get it when they made the deal. I think everyone's reaction, worst case, people were meh to lukewarm, and then I think most were going, yep, it's a good deal, it makes sense. I remember Carlo saying he might not be the best player out there, and he wasn't, but that he would be the best fit. It didn't work. Draft picks, and he left after a very short time, part of it because of injuries. And it's something to, you know, that, yeah, I wonder how much it will Kyle Dubas and Leafs management, how much being influenced by that in terms of what they do this year, where, of course, all eyes are going to be on the on trying to shore up the defense. All right, on the other side of the show, I always love when he gets a chance to join us. Robert Mays, host of the Athletic Football Show, NFL writer for The Athletic. And what I'm curious is, we'll talk about AFC, NFC championship game, praise for the Cincinnati Bengals defense, but also on the recent podcast, talked about some of the biggest takeaways from the 2021 rookie class. What could be learned from what we saw from Justin Fields, Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson, and even Mac Jones? I'm not putting Trey Lance in here. He gets an INC, incomplete. But we'll get into that on the other side. I'm Matthew Cause. You are listening to a gameplay right here on TSN 1050.